Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I'll bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's Geico.com.
My good buddy Prashant Iyer calling in all the way from Carolina. You can find his podcast with Max Bowman, Wings for Breakfast. He's also the inventor of hockey graphs. He has a doctorate in the DRW. Prashant, my friend, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us today, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Told you we just got through a little tornado warning down here, but other than that, all good.
You're all good. Just a warning, just some sirens. Everything's intact. No problems.
No problems. We got a fun amount of hail to make it seem like we were playing some ice hockey down here, but that was about it.
Okay, so a little bit of hail, not hail to the victors, but that's a story for another day. Prashant, the regular season for the Wings, it comes to a close. They split their games over the weekend, Friday and Saturday. They win on Friday 5-2, lose on Saturday 5-4, picking up points in both games. So if you're on the, you know, lottery ping pong ball watch, probably not a very successful weekend, especially when you factor in the previous weekend where they split with Tampa Bay and got a victory. So a lot of points here to wind down the season. But the biggest question that I have for you, and this one's going to be really tough, when you look at this year's team versus last year's team, all things considered, injuries in place, truncated 56-game season, do you think that this team showed enough improvement for Jeff Blashill to retain his current position? That question was so tough that he got disconnected. That's how hard of a question that was. He just hung up and he said, you know what? I can't even do this. I can't even answer this question because it's stressing me out. Because that's the number one question. He literally just texted me and said, got disconnected, unfortunately. Brett will work to get him back on the horn. But that's the biggest question for every Red Wings fan. And for those with the keen eye, for those that understand the game at that level, it's a little different than peewee hockey, right? Everything's a little bit different. You're not playing fantasy sports here. Just because you draft a guy high because everybody says he's a great pick, guess what? He's still a human being. Is his work ethic there? Is he the kind of guy who wants to get a paycheck and party? You know how these hockey guys are. They get a lot of control from time to time. You know, is this guy, is hockey number one in his life? Is he going to be a good guy in the locker room? Is he arrogant? Right? Is he cocky? Big ego? Do you need all that in your life? All of these things go into these decisions. How is he on the ice with his teammates? How is he on the ice? How is he off the ice with his teammates? He's kind of a quiet guy.
Yeah.
And now Prashant is back. Prashant, I said that question was so difficult, you hung up. And I didn't blame you. I didn't blame you. Faced with that question, I tried to hang up on myself earlier too. But the question is, Prashant, do you feel like Jeff Blashill and this team, 56-game season, injuries included, did this team show enough improvement for him to warrant keeping his job?
You know, I think that really is such a difficult question to answer. I think if you look back to maybe preseason expectations, the Red Wings sort of outpaced where I thought they would be. I think I had them pegged for about 45 points. They finished with 48 on the season. They made significant strides defensively. I think you saw them, you know, really tighten things up, play a little bit better hockey where they were able to keep things out to the perimeter. But, you know, I think the key question is, did the core guys drive that difference? Was that driven by Dylan Larkin? Was that driven by the guys you want to be around in the future? I think, in my opinion, I don't know that I've necessarily seen that, although it's sort of hard to evaluate because the way Jeff Blashill sort of coaches and what his system looks like, you're never going to see the point totals there to really back that up.
Now, that leads me to the next question. Why is that? What is this system from Jeff Blashill that limits maybe some of these eye-popping opportunities where, you know, we see a guy like north of the border in Connor McDavid going for 100 points in 50 games? Maybe that's a product of the division he's playing in, but at the end of the day, they're still all NHL guys, so I don't care if that's the worst division in the history of the NHL. Guy's still at 100 points in 50 games. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, what McDavid's doing right now is absolutely unreal. But I think, you know, if you listen to kind of Blashill on how he talks about what he wants these guys to become, is he constantly talks about this 200-foot player and the ability to not necessarily take chances to generate offense, but get offense within the confines of a structure. And so, you know, when you watch the Red Wings play, they're not very aggressive when it comes to trying to force turnovers or trying to force odd man rushes offensively. They're very much the team that wants to sit back in kind of a structured shell, allow other teams to kind of pepper them with low, you know, probability shots, and then kind of pick their spots within their system. And so what that basically means is you're not going to see the guys like McDavid poke the puck through a defender and then try and go in on a two-on-one, because, you know, Blashill doesn't want that poking strategy. He wants a hard play on the puck that's going to result in a high probability of a turnover that ultimately leads to the Red Wings getting there. So, you know, in a sense, it's almost, in my opinion, kind of coaching down to the lowest common denominator, you know, basically coaching a style that everyone can play, as opposed to maybe enabling some of those skill guys to take a little bit more risk. And I think that's why over the years, you've seen guys like Thomas Yurko, Andreas Athanasiou, not necessarily thrive in the system, because they are guys that, you know, really can use their skill and take those chances. But Blashill really talks about, I want it to happen within the confines of a structure. And I think that's why you don't see those point totals from some of these guys.
And it can be frustrating, Prashant, because, you know, you look at a guy like Dylan Larkin, who's wearing the C, and he has 9 goals and 14 assists for 23 points on the year. His 9 goals is 4th on the team behind Mantha, who's no longer with the program in the Washington with the Capitals now. Adam Ernie had 11. Robbie Fabry had 10. And it's like, okay, well, you know, Larkin isn't necessarily going to be that guy. The leading point scorer on this team was a defenseman in Philip Hronek, who had 2 goals and 24 assists. Like, you know, but at the end of the day, for me watching this team, it's like, I guess I kind of feel like I want Larkin to be, and I know it's a shortened season, so the numbers are skewed a little bit, but I want him. I need him to be a 30-plus goal scorer every year, and I just don't know if that's him.
Yeah, and it's sort of hard to say and separate what's his actual talent ability and what are we seeing, because his offense has maybe been suppressed in favor of playing within the confines of this structure, because we're talking about a player who's only a couple years removed from a 70-point season, you know, really not that far off. And so we know the skill is there. We know the talent's there. Obviously, we've seen the speed over the years. So it's definitely a frustrating thing to kind of see, and you're like, man, he is really struggling to generate offense here and generate those point totals. And the question always comes, you know, is it because Larkin doesn't have that next gear to be the elite player, or is it because he's sort of kind of restricted or handcuffed in a sense to playing this very structured defensive system to kind of appeal down to the lowest common denominator on the team?
Yeah, I'd say it is frustrating. You know, you kind of just want him just to, like, you know, let the dogs loose a little bit. Now, I'll rally kind of back to one of your early points about, you know, did the young core of players that was supposed to drive this thing, were they did they make the jump? Were they the reason that this team had success? Was it that group, or was it some of the elder statesmen like a Fabry or Bobby Ryan, who started off the season so hot the way that he did, and then obviously, you know, injuries and everything else kind of catch up to you. But did the young core do enough? Did they make that step? And it's just, man, is it frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's very frustrating to watch, because you kind of look at the totals at the end of the season, and, you know, the guys coming into the season, Larkin, Mantha, and Bertuzzi, who are going to be counted on to really drive the ship. I mean, Dylan Larkin had a kind of subpar offensive season relative to what you were hoping for. Anthony Mantha has been traded to Washington, and Tyler Bertuzzi didn't make it out of the month of January and now has undergone back surgery. So, you know, if you kind of look at where you were at the beginning of the year and say, okay, we didn't necessarily get what we thought we were going to get from those three guys. Where does that leave us now? Now, I think Jacob Vrana, acquired in that Mantha deal, is a heck of a hockey player. He really drove the bus for the last kind of couple weeks of the season, and I think he's an outstanding player, arguably the most skilled offensive player the Red Wings have had since Pavel Datsyuk. So, you know, that's a potential site for, you know, or potential kind of opportunity to moving forward. And then Philip Peronic on the back end, you know, he ends up leading the team in points. I haven't necessarily thought that he has that number one defensive kind of gear in him, but he was at least able to be serviceable in that role. So there's a couple of bright spots to pick out, but by and large, I think the three guys who you thought were going to drive the ship ultimately didn't have the opportunity to.
Yeah, and I absolutely love, I mean, the deal that brought Jacob Verana for Anthony Mantha. I understand that, you know, Mantha was a lot of production there. I saw a stat the other day floating around on Twitter. It was like 5-on-5 even strength goals. Verana had 8 and Mantha had 1 since the trade. And it was that, like, that was eye popping for me because, as you mentioned, like, there's got to be a guy on this team that can break loose and get a little creative with the puck on a stick and make some things happen without having to have the assist from everybody else. Like, you got to be able to carry this thing on your own from time to time and put the squad on your back and get some points on the board. My God. I like the trade just for the sake of the draft capital that came over in that. And I'm like, wow, Stevie, why? He really fleeced the Washington Capitals. It really does look like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, set aside Jacob Verana, just getting the first and the second round pick, you know, the extra first in 2021, the extra second in 2022, that's a great haul in and of itself in a year where it looked like, you know, a lot of teams weren't getting great returns. I mean, we saw what Taylor Hall fetched, although that was sort of a forced trade to Boston. And you saw what some of the other guys who were dealt fetched. And it was nowhere near kind of what Anthony Mantha fetched. And then not only did you get that draft capital, but you got a player who's arguably at least as good as Anthony Mantha right now. And that just ends up being a heck of a deal by Steve Yzerman.
Yeah, it really truly does. Prashanth, how will the upcoming expansion draft work now with the Seattle Kraken? And, you know, who on this Red Wings team do you look at and say, yeah, no, they're going to be in danger of losing him, if anybody?
Yeah, so the rules will end up following the same rules as Vegas, where teams have the opportunity to kind of go through one of two strategies. They can either elect to protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goaltender, or they can protect 8 skaters and a goaltender. Most teams, and Detroit will be in this, will follow the 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goaltender. Now, there's a couple guys who are exempt from protection. They won't need to protect Joe Valeno. They won't need to protect Philip Zadina. They won't need to protect Moritz Seider. So those guys get a free pass here. And so the guys that I end up thinking about being in danger of being claimed are some of the younger guys who just haven't gotten a shot. And particularly the two that, really three that stand out for me are Evgeny Svechnikov, Giovanni Smith, and Dennis Cholowski. And I think it's really going to come down to what the Red Wings want to do up front, if they want to protect Vladislav Namestnikov, who is a free agent signing because he has the ability to play center, although he didn't necessarily produce the way they were hoping for. He's still a veteran center who could play some big minutes for them next year, whereas Svechnikov and Smith, both wingers, so I think that'll be the interesting decision for Yzerman, is which of those two guys ends up being there. And then obviously Dennis Cholowski is most likely going to be, left unprotected because they'll have to protect Filip Hronek. They'll have to protect Troy Stetcher. And then it sort of depends on the direction that they're going to go after that. And that's where I think maybe Cholowski finds himself exposed, or Gustav Lindstrom finds himself exposed. And so those are the guys that I've got my eye on as potential guys to be claimed by Seattle.
Boy, that's a list. I really liked it. Giovanni Smith, too. Didn't get to see him a whole lot, but he plays. He's got an edge. He's got an attitude. I like that guy. When you look at Steve Yzerman here, Prashanth Iyer joining us right now here on the Michigan Sports Network. And Prashanth, when you look at this Red Wings team, the way it's constructed, what do you believe to be, and let's say that Moritz Seider's coming over and he's going to be, when he finally gets here, let's say that he lives up to the expectation, which seems to be a really hard thing to do around here, but let's just pretend and make-believe land that he does. If he does so, what is the biggest need facing this team?
Yeah, so if Moritz Seider ends up coming over and being that number one right shot defenseman, which I think a lot of people are hoping he can be, then I think the biggest need for this team really comes down to the center position. And it goes back to our conversation about Dylan Larkin. Is he the number one center on this hockey team, or do you need another player who is at least as good, if not better? I sort of fall in that camp of the Red Wings would be best served if Dylan Larkin was their second best center. And so they have a decision in front of them. You know, how are they going to go out and get a player like that? Is it going to be through the draft this year where, unfortunately, you know, there's not a lot of great centers? Really, only Matty Beniers seems to be the guy who's going to project to play center at the next level, and he may be gone before the Red Wings get to pick. And so if that's the case, you know, they're looking at some of the second-tier centers there who aren't likely better than Larkin. Or do they go out chasing in free agency? Do they chase, you know, Elias Pettersson from Vancouver via an offer sheet? I think that's the biggest need, is they've got to find a guy who's at least as good, if not better, than Dylan Larkin to play center.
How much faith do you have in the Iser plan? I mean, it's pretty hard to disagree with a guy that has the resume and the credentials and the pedigree that he has. But, I mean, we got to just kind of have some blind faith here that this whole thing's going to work out, right?
Yeah, I mean, you sort of look at what he was able to do in Tampa, and that immediately puts your trust level, you know, through the roof here. But then when you sort of sit back and evaluate what he's done over the first 2 years, he's done exactly what he needed to. Now, the biggest thing for the Red Wings when he first got here was they had to let those bad contracts die off. There was no way around it. There was no need to go out, you know, try and chase being mediocre. And he let that happen. You know, the Jonathan Erickson contract dies off, the Jimmy Howard contract dies off, and some of those other kind of lengthier deals that had been tying up a lot of cap space, those went away. And so he's waited that out. He's continued to experiment by bringing in young players on nice moves. You know, the Robbie Fabry move for Jacob De La Rose is a heck of a deal, you know, to bring Fabry over here. Plucking, you know, guys like Brendan Perlini in a deal with Alec Lagula, although that one didn't work out. And then basically being able to get a Troy Stetcher, a John Merrill, things like that. He's made all the right little moves, but the Anthony Mantha trade was kind of the first big move. And I think what you're going to start seeing from Yzerman, or at least what I would hope to start seeing from him, is now he has to start hitting the big move. He did all the little moves easy. He did all the things he needed to do really, really well the last 2 years. But now that the Wings have that cap space, they have the draft capital, what he's got to do is find a way to maximize that. And those are going to be the big moves that really turn this team around.
He is Prashanth Iyer. You can find him on Twitter at @Iyer_Prashanth, co-host of the Wings for Breakfast on the Athletic Detroit, co-creator of Meta Hockey and a member of Hockey Graphs. Oh, and by the way, a soon-to-be father as well. Your number one draft pick is due in October, so I see. So, Prashanth, my friend, congratulations to you on that, my friend. All the best. Enjoy the offseason. Let's touch base soon. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.